Good morning, mamas of the world. It's Twanda Black, and joining me this morning is Karen Eamon. She's written a book along with Ruth Schwenk, and it's called Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, Twanda. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I think that it's so true, you know, in reading the stories and just kind of chuckling, remembering my days of motherhood and, you know, some of the things that you hear, and we take all that stuff in and believe it. And then when we can't fulfill it, we feel like failures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get our cues from society, from other mothers we've known, from people we see on Pinterest of exactly what a perfect mom should be. And then we feel like failures when we can't do it like they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I had to figure out, I got to do it my way. You know, I'm my own mama. I had these kids. So, you know, I'm going to work on, you know, what God told me to do and not what other people told me to do. Because really and truly, and especially you look at the young moms, they really don't know. I was an older mom in my, you know, mid-20s, if you call that an older mom. But you know, first baby, very difficult. And you're taking other people's advice.
Mm-hmm. And people like to give their unsolicited advice to you, whether it's your aunt or whether you're standing in line at the grocery store. Everybody's got an opinion for what you should do with that baby.
Oh, yeah. But even before you have it, when they're rubbing your stomach, unsolicited, too.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, talk about you and Ruth tell stories in the book about, you know, being moms. And some of the things that in the belief system that we've grown up under, because it's sometimes it's so heavy, it's like bondage.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, well, for me, we write about 10 different myths in the book, but for me, the one I struggled with first is that the way I mother is the right and only way. Right. I really felt like if I just read all the right books, of course, this was in the day and age before internet, my oldest is almost 25, I have teenagers and adult children, but I just thought if I read all the books and I studied all the people who I saw in my life and at church that seemed to have perfect children and just mimicked everything that they did and did everything the book said to do, that I would crank out perfect kids, that my life would just go smooth, there wouldn't be any bumps in the road, my kids would obey the first time I asked them, everything would just go swimmingly, and it didn't take me long to realize that, you know, you can't always just try to replicate someone else's experience, and maybe there isn't just one right and only way to do things. I mean, there are so many issues of motherhood about which we need to make a decision. You know, are we going to breastfeed or bottle feed? Are we going to have the baby sleep with us or sleep in a crib? Are we going to, you know, homeschool or carpool and go to the public school? Are we going to work in the home, outside the home? What are we going to do with all these things? And for me, I think both because I was around a group of women who seemed like they had it all figured out and there was one right and only way for all these different decisions, and because I so desperately wanted to do it right, I think I got in my mind this checklist of all these things that a good mom did, and if you didn't follow the same checklist I did, then you weren't quite doing it right, and I wasn't really sure I wanted to be friends with you and hang out with you. And luckily, I quit thinking like that after probably the second baby came along, maybe when I was pregnant with my third, I finally realized that, you know what, I was preventing friendships from forming with women who maybe thought just a little bit differently than I did. I was building, you know, a fence between us rather than laying down the lumber and building a bridge and reaching out to them, even though maybe we didn't think exactly the same about how we disciplined or fed our children. It's okay. There isn't always one right and only way to do things when it comes to being a mom.
It's so true. And let me tell you mine. Mine is number 5, a good mother can do it all at once. You know, I grew up in a huge family and the oldest grandchild with 9 of my mom's siblings. So I took care of all of their children, too.
Oh, my goodness.
So
wow, you could run a small country.
Right, exactly. So when I started having my kids and, you know, as I got a certain age, everybody started sending their kids to me. So it was like I was the super mom and I really wasn't. And, you know, I did know how to deal with kids. I mean, you know, and I kept my house clean as much as I could. But I always felt like I was on this treadmill. and that everything had to be right and the clothes had to be done. And I remember one day, I remember this so vividly. I walked in the house, I saw the laundry, there were dishes in the sink, and I just laid down on my bed and I said, you know what? I'm done. I said, that will have to wait. I'm tired. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't keep, you know what I'm saying? I can't keep up. This pace is too much for me. I was working a full-time job, single mom with two kids and a house, and just trying to do everything all at once. And I could not handle it.
Well, you know, really that whole line of thinking is kind of a strength that morphs into a weakness, you know, because we women, we're strong, we're capable, we're clever, we're confident. Competent, we're resourceful, we can multitask, and they're all great traits. But what we don't want to take in account sometimes is that we also have this one little word, limitations.
Yes.
You know, that we can't always do it all at once. We get stretched too thin. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes our capability can morph into, you know, a curse almost.
Yes.
Of thinking that you know, we can do it all and have it all and be it all and know it all, and really, you know, only God knows everything and can do everything. Mm-hmm. And when we try to do all of that, you know, we're trying to take his job. Oof. We need to give him his job back and realize we do have limitations.
Here's the funny thing about that. People will go on vacation and send their kids to stay with me.
Now, oh, really?
They were on vacation.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes. And I was the neighborhood mom. So I would have 7-8 boys at my house at any given time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
I'd hate to see your grocery bill.
Yes, yeah, that and everything else. But, you know, it's you come to that realization that I have limitations. I am not in control of anything,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I love that you say that mothering isn't a recipe. There is no recipe for motherhood.
No,
and
it's not a recipe.
It's a relationship with God.
It is. It's a relationship with God, a relationship with your children and your husband if you have one, and with other mothers as we swap war stories and share ideas.
Yeah.
and share the burden of praying for each other's kids. You know, it is a relationship, but we want a slick 3-step recipe because we want to crank out perfect kids.
And it's not going to happen.
No.
Because they're never going to be perfect. Neither are we.
Exactly.
That's the funny part. Somebody called me this morning with that same kind of comment. I said, you have to understand nobody's perfect. So you got to start there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had this thing where some days, and I would call it my sunset moments, where I didn't want to go home. I just wanted to ride off into the sunset. That was seriously, that was my sunset moment, because I felt like running away sometimes. I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about that in the book.
Yeah. I tease my husband sometimes that I have this little dream in the back of my mind. I think this crazy little fantasy that I live all alone in an apartment and I'm just a waitress in a diner and I only have to, you know, do my own laundry mm-hmm. and cook food for just me, and I can just sit around and watch black and white movies the rest of the day when I'm not waiting tables at the diner and meeting people.
Wow.
And then, you know, that only lasts for so long, yes. that fantasy, because I'm sure I'd miss my family and come running back. But, you know, because we are in charge of not only our own lives, but so many of the facets of our children's lives, sometimes we just get to that breaking point where we're just overwhelmed. And I like that sunset moment.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
we just want to ride off into the sunset and we want to just chuck it and not have responsibilities like we do.
Yeah.
Because maybe at those times we're trying to carry out all the responsibilities and carry the load without really relying on God.
Right.
And so the load gets too heavy.
Yes, yes. And I had to learn that. I really did. I would call my mom on the way home because I had an hour drive home.
Mm.
It's my commute, too. And she said, how you doing today? I said, I'm having a sunset moment.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I just want to ride off into the sunset and just sit on the beach somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she would tell me to refocus on God, you know. So
that
was always a good thing. In your research, you found that many women were almost paralyzed with fear about the thought of becoming a mom because, you know, motherhood is so controversial now, you know,
mm-hmm.
how you do, like you said, how you, whether you breastfeed or bottle feed, whether you stay at home, everybody's got an opinion about what you do as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you discipline, do you spank, or do you give time out? This is all these different things. And so you get folks that are like, I don't know. I have some friends who just said, I don't want to be a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can be a very scary thing, especially with, you know, this day and age of all the different things that can happen to kids, the trouble they can get into, the danger they might be in, not only, you know, when we were growing up, you had to stay away from that one house that's down at the end of the street. That guy's kind of scary. Well, now kids meet people online that are scary. I mean, there are a lot of things that go into our thinking before we become mothers of all the things that could go wrong, and it can really just strike fear in us.
Yeah, it really does. And again, we really have to focus on God. We have to look to God, you know, the author and finisher of our faith. So there's a question here about the bloggers like we have today. There's advice about being a mother everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you and I grew up in a time when there was not that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have to depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, with a click of a mouse, you can find the question or the answer to any question you want, you know. But then sometimes that gets us into trouble, too, because we find conflicting opinions and who's right and who's wrong. We need to be hitting our knees before we hit the computer, you know, and asking the Lord for our marching orders and not always just trying to replicate all the experts that are out there and adopt all of their advice as our lifestyle.
Because it may not even match your belief system, but you might turn away because that's the expert of the moment, of the hour, of the 15 minutes of fame, and you take their advice, but it doesn't even match up with who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So it can be a little daunting, I'll tell you. Talk about for a moment, and I think that a lot of parents today, more so during our time, and I don't know if it's a switch around or not, but trying to teach your kids about God growing up in this society, because you have some teenage kids at home, and I'm sure you've already built that foundation, but give some advice to parents about, you know, trying to give that model and teach the principles at home so that it can carry through when they're at school, if they see somebody being bullied or somebody being treated unfairly, so that they just won't be average, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think two phrases really pop out in my mind that I've heard over the years that I've tried to adopt in my own mothering that might be helpful to people listening. And the first one is that it's an old familiar phrase. Maybe they've heard, you know, you've heard it before, but it's the concept that more is caught than taught.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often it's easy just to say the right things about God and to tell, you know, the kids, oh, you should do this and you shouldn't do that, and the Bible says this, and, you know, and yet sometimes our lives speak just the opposite.
Right.
And I find that our kids are watching what we do a lot more than they're listening to what we say.
Exactly.
So when they get into a sticky situation, hopefully they will have seen what their parents have done in similar situations throughout their life, and they will respond in the right way. So more is caught than is taught. And then the second one, my friend said to me one day when I was agonizing over a choice one of my teenagers had made, and I just said, I have told him over and over again not to do this and not to do that. And she said, you know, sometimes we need to stop talking to our kids about God and spend more time talking to God about our kids.
Mm.
Because sometimes our kids hear us over and over and over again. Well, you know, the Bible says, and God doesn't want you to do this, and God wants you to do that, and wah, 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 wah. We start to sound like the teacher on Charlie Brown.
Exactly.
So not that we should never talk to our kids about God, but sometimes they tune us out because that's all we do lecture, you know? So instead, flipping that and not necessarily always talking to our kids about God, but talking to God about our kids in prayer and just taking our concerns to Him daily will yield more results than
that's
always
awesome work.
Pulling out, you know, being on the lecture tour.
Because they really tune you out. They really tune you out. You know, number 10 is huge, huge, huge. I see parents, and I know I went through it with one of my kids one time, thinking that my child's bad choices were a reflection of me.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of hear that, you know, in Kingdom Talk sometimes, that, you know, your kids are a reflection of you. If your kids are acting up, you look at the parents and all that kind of stuff. What do you say to moms about that, about, you know, the choices that their kids make?
Yeah, that's a big myth, that my child's bad choice means I'm a bad mom. And we struggle with that, whether it's a toddler throwing a temper tantrum at the grocery store or a teenager who gets called down to the principal's office or an adult child who breaks the law.
Yeah.
You know, we immediately start to feel like, oh, I must have done something wrong, which it really always puzzles me, Twanda, because I don't do that with other people. Like if I find out, you know, one of my friend's child got, you know, mm-hmm. children got in trouble at school, or maybe their teenager, you know, did something wrong and is now, you know, maybe facing jail time or, you know, a dire situation, I instantly just feel empathy for her and, oh, that poor mom, you know, I know she didn't bring her child
exactly,
up that way,
exactly.
you know. But when it's my kid who does something wrong, I think, oh, everybody's looking at me. They must think I'm a bad mom. Mm-hmm. So we need to realize that, you know, even God, the perfect parent, could not get his first two children to obey. I mean, Adam and Eve sinned. Mm-hmm. What makes us think that we're going to be such a perfect parent that our kids will never mess up? They're going to mess up. They're, you know, your kids are going to stop sinning the day you do. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be until Jesus comes back or we go to heaven. So we need to take off that bad mom name tag, that bad mom badge that we wear sometimes, and to walk that fine line of, you know, showing our kids our disappointment and our disapproval of their choice, but still being there for them as they deal with the fallout of making a bad choice. And I actually talk in the book about one of my friends who had to do that with a young adult son in college who made a really bad choice that could have landed him in jail. And she said she, you know, had to walk that line of panic and embarrassment and worry, but yet being there for his child in his dark hour after, you know, he became remorseful for a bad choice that he made. I had a friend say to me once, and I've never forgotten it, that, you know, when you want them the least is when they need you the most.
Yeah.
And so when they have done something really bad and you think, oh, this kid, they're making me look bad. I don't want them. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's when they need you the most.
Yeah.
So you've got to learn to walk that line and not worry about the opinions that are being, you know, slung around town or the way people may view you, but to be there for your child and to help them learn from that bad choice and not make it again.
You know, when I was going through it with my son, I didn't rescue him. And I really took a hammering for that from my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to stand on the word of God and what God told me in my closet to do. And they finally kind of got it. But at first, oh, my goodness.
I
got criticized and beat up and everything about not rescuing my son. And I said, I will not do it. God said that he will handle it, and I have to take my hands off.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do that. And it was, you know, that's the hardest thing a mother or father or parents have to do, is take your hands off and let God handle it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is hard. Oh.
Mm-hmm. It is very difficult. It's very difficult. The book is an amazing book, and it really touches on the very core of what motherhood is all about and how we deal with these things. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, get the book. It is phenomenal. Karen, tell folks where they can find the book and then how they can learn more about you.
Yeah, the book is available online at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, or in just, you know, regular bookstores, Christian and secular bookstores. And they can also get it through my website, and that's how they can connect with me at KarenEeman.com. And Eeman is spelled E-H-M-A-N. And from there, they can see the different places I am on social media. If they want to follow me on Facebook or look at my photographs on Instagram, I love connecting with readers there through social media.
All right. The name of the book is Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. Karen Eeman, Ruth Schwenk are the authors. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.